Got an itch? Cough? Pain? The doctor is in. Dr. Michael Smith answers your questions. You can ask by emailing your question or going to the Healthy Talk page on RadioMD.com. Listen, learn, and live a better life. And send questions. Ask Dr. Mike Smith at RadioMD.com.
All right, so this is the official launch of Ask Dr. Mike, which, of course, is me. I've been collecting, if you really want to know, this goes back 8 years almost now with the Life Extension Foundation, through my lectures, my webinars. I even did some work on the phones as a health advisor. I have literally collected hundreds, if not thousands, of questions from customers, from other doctors that I've worked with. And so I think I want to start sharing those with you, but I also want to encourage you to send me some of your questions that you want answered. So we're going to have an Ask the Dr. Mike segment every week here. And I have six questions that I'd like to – I'm going to try to get through all of these. I want you to know something with these questions. I mean, I have looked at them, but I'm not necessarily preparing an answer. I just kind of want to talk off the cuff a little bit and just have a nice discussion around the question or the topic. So let's get right into the first one. The first question, why do you prefer fish oil over flaxseed for omega fats? So I know there was a month or so ago, I did a segment, and it was either my own segment or I had a guest on. I talked about different sources of omega-3s, and I did mention that I'm not a stickler about it, but I do prefer fish oil. So I think that's where this question comes from. And the answer is it's really not that difficult. Omega-3s from fish provide the long-chain omega-3s, and we want the long-chain omega-3s, EPA, DHA. Those are long-chain omega-3s. That's what we want. The long-chain omega-3s are associated with easing of inflammation, reducing fats in your blood, improving lipid profiles. They're good for your brain. So we want the long-chain omega-3s. The problem with plant-based sources like flaxseed oil, chia seed, whatever your source is, if it's plant-based, those plants are not providing you with the long-chain omegas. They're providing you with the shorter chain, which means when you consume them and they get inside your cell has to convert those small and medium plant-based omega-3s into the longer ones, EPA and DHA, because that's what the body wants, the longer chain. As we get older, we just don't convert anything very well. It's just part of getting older. And we've seen this, by the way. There's a test called the Omega Score. This is a blood test. Actually, it's just a finger prick, but it does analyze your blood for the different types of fat. And over the years at Life Extension with our customers, we've noticed it's clear. Customers and members of Life Extension taking flax-based products have very little omega-3s in the long-chain range, or EPA, DHA. Yet those taking the fish oils are off the chart, optimal, the way we want it. So we actually have blood test proof of this idea, this theory, that you don't convert the smaller chain to the longer chain omega-3. So that's why I like fish oils over the flat. Now, if you have a philosophical reason for not taking fish, then don't. Get your omega-3s in some way, some form. And flax is a great way to do it. I just prefer the fish because of that conversion issue. So there's question number one. Number two, I like this. I get this one I get a lot. And not necessarily about DHEA, but about hormones in general. I want to take DHEA for metabolic support and immunity. Good. That would be a good choice. But he goes on to say, but I'm concerned that if I start taking DHEA, I assumed it was he, I don't know why, I don't have the name here, but I'm concerned that if I start taking DHEA, my body will stop making it. Help! With an exclamation point. Okay. Well, let's talk about that. Yes. If you start taking a hormone, there is a chance your body will stop making that hormone because you're giving it exogenously. That's true. But here's the real question. What is your blood level of DHEA? Now, DHEA is a key anti-aging hormone. From DHEA, you're going to get testosterone and estrogen. So not only is it good for muscle metabolism, fat metabolism, body weight, DHEA is good for mood, brain. It also makes testosterone and estrogen. So it's a real important hormone. And as you get older, you lose it. So if you've done a blood test and your DHEA level is low, well, guess what? Your body's already not making it. Now's the time to replace it. When I suggest for a family member, a patient, a friend, whatever, for that person to take hormones, when I suggest hormone replacement, in this case DHEA, that's because I've looked at your blood work and you're already are low. Your body is already not making it. So that's really not the issue. So, and this brings up an important point about hormone replacement therapy. You need to know what your blood levels are. You should never take a bioidentical hormone, only take bioidentical ones. That's maybe another question. But you only take bioidentical hormones and you only take them when you know that you need them, when you've done a blood test and you're low and you're trying to optimize your blood level or maintain an optimal level. So you really need to know your baseline blood level and you need to follow them on occasion. A doctor needs to look at those. That doctor needs to know how to interpret those numbers and how to keep you at a nice maintenance dose. So to answer this question, if you've looked at a blood level, the DHEA level is low. A doctor has said, yeah, you need some. Well, guess what? Don't worry about your body not making it. Your body already is not making it. All right, that's question number two. I got to watch my time here. I can really get talking about some of these questions here. Number three. All right. What's the... Uh-oh. Maybe I should have skipped this one. This one might take some time. What's the truth about vaccines? That's a big one. I could do a whole lecture or even a seminar on vaccine. What's the truth about vaccines? And again, there's no specific vaccine mentioned here. I know that there, you know, on one side of the fence, you have people who are big proponents of vaccinations. On the other hand, you have other people who think that they're not safe. Maybe not the vaccine itself, but maybe how it's made. Some of the, some of them are made with mercury, for instance, some of the preservatives in them. Well, let me tell you, I can speak with a little confidence here because I am, you know, my undergrad degree was microbiology and immunology, and I did study vaccinations. Of course, you study in medical school, too. And I can tell you the theory of vaccinations is well established. Now, notice I said theory. I mean, the science is maybe lagging a little bit, but the theory is pretty cool. Your immune system needs to be primed to work. What do I mean by primed? It means you have to some foreign agent, a bacteria, virus, does have to get into your system a little bit in order for your immune system to kind of recognize it and kind of start to build that response. So that's the whole theory of vaccinations, that you're going to give yourself a little bit of this foreign virus or bacteria, and you're going to mount a response to it. It's almost like you're priming the immune system, so when you're hit by the real thing, you're ready to fight it. So the theory is awesome. The science of vaccinations is not quite so impressive. I mean, we have some cases of vaccines not working at all. We have other cases where they work great, but they have side effects. So I really think it needs to be done on a case-by-case basis. Let me just give you an example, the flu vaccination. If you have a chronic disease or you're over the age 65, yeah, I think you should do the flu vaccination. We see a significant decrease in mortality in people over 65 that take the flu vaccination. If you're healthy and you're 40, there's really no evidence that you need it. If you're doing immune-boosting nutrients that I've talked about, like vitamin D and selenium and lactoferrin, I mentioned these before. So what's the deal about, what's the truth about vaccines? The science is lagging behind the theory, and we just need some more research on them. Some vaccine seems to work, some don't. So there you go. All right, number four. I think I have enough time to do one more question here. This is another big one. Let me try to do this in about a minute, I think. Should I stop taking my calcium supplements? No, it's that simple. There was a study that showed women who take calcium supplements had an increased risk of cardiovascular disease because the calcium was depositing in the wall of the arteries. The reason that happened wasn't the calcium. It's not the calcium's fault. It's because the women in the study had low vitamin D and low vitamin K2. Calcium, vitamin D, and vitamin K2, all go together. If you take them together and you optimize those vitamins at the same time, calcium stays out of the artery and goes into the bone where it belongs. So don't stop taking your calcium supplements. Just make sure you have optimal vitamin D and optimal vitamin K2. Ask Dr. Mike. Pretty awesome, huh? So send in your email questions to me. Ask Dr. Mike Smith at RadioMD.com. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.